The last few weeks, of course, have been stressful for everyone. But today, we want to hear about how your children are coping during lockdown. The charity Young Minds say calls to their helpline are increasingly referring to lockdown, and the impact social restrictions are having on young people are also coming up in conversations. Have you noticed a change in your children during lockdown? If they're very young, do they understand why that they suddenly can't see their grandparents or their friends or their teachers? How are your teenagers after the abrupt end to the school year and the cancellation of their exams just as they're on the cusp of the next level? And what about perhaps also in there some positive changes? Do your children in some ways seem happier now that they have more family time? There's nothing in the diary. There's no external commitments. Are they getting perhaps along a bit better with their siblings or with you now that they can't see their friends? And of course, I'm very aware that we perhaps do have more younger people listening than usual because everyone would be back at school right now. And if you're under 18, with the permission of those that you live with, if you want to talk to us about how you're actually feeling as someone who's young and caught up in all of this, 08085 909 693, you can call for free. You can text us on 85058 or tweet at BBC5Live or email emmabarnettshow@bbc.co.uk. We are open to hearing directly from you. Let's talk to Nick Harrop, who's from the mental health charity Young Minds. Nick, talk to us about what you're hearing more of on the calls and the communication that Young Minds is receiving.
Yeah, good morning, Emma. We're receiving a lot of calls to our parents' helpline about the coronavirus and about the restrictions. Often parents really concerned about their children's behaviour, their children's anxiety, children being worried about their family getting ill, struggling to cope without the routines of school, having lost contact with friends, or just worried about the loss of routine in their lives, the loss of the things that they do outside home. And of course, in some cases as well, children struggling to deal with things like bereavement or really difficult situations at home. So we're getting a lot of calls about that at the moment. As your previous caller said, this is a time when we all need to pull together, when these restrictions are there to save lives, and everyone acknowledges that. But it is having a big impact on lots of the children that we hear about.
And what are their particular anxieties? Are they finding not seeing people the worst, or actually worrying about getting ill, or worrying about their family getting ill, hand washing? What are some of the examples?
So the big things we hear about are about family getting ill, about worries about hand washing, worries about hygiene, also about worries about not seeing friends. For young people with existing needs, existing mental health issues, sometimes a loss of support or a reduction of support. So if you were seeing a school counsellor, for example, either not being able to see that school counsellor at all or only being able to do it remotely, which of course can be very difficult if you're trying to have a Skype counselling session and you're living in a crowded flat with your brothers and sisters and your family, that can be really tricky in itself. So there are lots of challenges. I think you're right that for some families, this will be an opportunity to spend more time together and there will be positives. But from a lot of the families we hear from, it's a really tough time.
Let's talk to Alicia Drummond, a child psychotherapist. Stay with us there to listen to this and what she has to say, Nick. But Alicia, from your point of view as a child psychotherapist and also founder of the website Teen Tips, what have people been getting in touch about with you?
Oh, good morning, Emma. Well, actually, fairly similar to what Nick's just been saying. I think, you know, we're 4 weeks in and I think the cracks are showing. I think parents are telling us that actually they're not okay, that they're concerned about the mental health of their children, and that's both the little ones and the older ones. I think there's a lot, you know, when you first start going into a period of big change, as we've just experienced, you know, to start off with, you're in that sense of slightly of denial, you know, it's not going to affect us, or the, even a sort of slight sense of excitement that this is a big change and it's all something new. And then a few weeks further down the line, and as I say, obviously it depends on your family situation as well. You know, if you've got space inside and out, you've got a family relationships that work, then this is an easier time for those than those who have no space, no access to tech or laptops. So particularly for the adolescents, you know, they are socializing via gaming, social media. And so for those who perhaps don't have access to to those resources, this is even more difficult for them. And the parents of younger ones,
could we go through, if you've got a younger child, what age group are you talking about and how have you seen them disrupted?
So the parents of the younger ones, so really kind of the zeros to sort of, you know, 5, 6, 7, those ones, they're talking really about their concerns are more about, you know, my child has become much more clingy. They seem to have much more sleep disturbed. They're coming into our room at night, which they hadn't done for a while. They're sort of acting out and generally more challenging to parent. And I think for those, it's about understanding that, you know, when we feel okay, we generally act okay. And I think there's a lot of exposure to a lot of news. You know, there's lots of households which have radios on full time, TV on full time, and even small children are picking up subliminally the sad messages that we're hearing. So for them, it's usually those kind of behaviours. Some of them are talking about their children not eating as well. And I think if we sort of understand that all of that is linked back to higher levels of cortisol, which is our stress hormone, which has an impact on your sleep, it has an impact on your appetite, we can start to understand that probably underlying that behaviour is a sense of not feeling okay, of feeling anxious, of feeling worried. But for that age group, not really being able to process it either. And seeing parents worried in their jobs, all of that kind of stuff, isn't helpful for them, and they can't process it themselves. For the older ones, I think again, it's noticing the changes of behaviour. So some of them are becoming more angry. We've heard definitely from parents who said, you know, I've often feel like I'm really treading on eggshells. Some of them are much more withdrawn, and certainly with the teenagers, I've had a lot of parents saying, you know, they're not doing their GCSEs, they're not doing their A levels, they can't see the point, they're really struggling to get up, to get going, to get motivated. And again, I think that sense of withdrawing, it's part of the fight or flight response, isn't it? So I think often we can link that again back to stress.
And have you got, so those are the issues, what would your advice then be? I mean, it's going to be different for the age groups, but how can parents help their children right now?
I think there's lots of different things. I think firstly, just being aware of the exposure that they're getting to news articles. So and also what format, you know, there's a lot of sort of conflicting news. So just being careful that even if they're very tiny, we're limiting their exposure, encouraging the older ones, you know, the ones, especially the ones of the social media junkies, you know, what are you looking at? What is your source of information? Because that's important. I think they need us to be okay, and that's difficult. You know, as parents, we are heavily invested in keeping our children okay, and whilst juggling all the other things that might be going on in our lives. So for tiny ones, they can't manage their own feelings. They need to do something called co-regulation, which is effectively where we do all the soothing and the empathy and with them for them. As you get older, you start to be able to self-regulate, but in times of crisis, that often becomes much more difficult. So again, even the older ones are more likely to be reliant on us for them to be able to feel calm and okay. So how we create our own sense of calm, which is something that actually we've been doing a lot of, running various webinars on parenting during isolation and talking exactly about that. You know, so there's a technique called the worry delay, which is scheduling a time each day. And if you're particularly anxious, you might need a couple of times each day that you're going to focus solely on the things that you're worried about. And for the rest of the time, when you feel those worries coming into your head, thinking, okay, is there anything I can actually do about it now? If the answer is yes, then I can do it. If the answer is no, then I'm going to write it on a piece of paper, put it into my phone in a note. In other words, you've externalized the worry from yourself, and I will revisit it at my allotted worry time. And that's a really great technique for children as well. So for them, we kind of create a little worry bag or a jar or a box and write it out for them and put it in there and maybe and come back.
Yeah, I was going to say keeping a diary at this time. Margaret Atwood was talking to me about that the other day, that she recommended it mainly for writers, she was talking about, but these are weird times. and keeping a record of how you felt could be quite interesting. And what about touch? I mean, it's quite a weird thing. I was thinking, you know, I was in the park with my little boy the other day, the only place you can go. And, you know, he went near another child to help with their ball. And I was like, no, you know, come back. You know, there's this very weird thing that we're putting into our children about not touching and not going near other people. Do you think there could be some kind of weird side effects of that?
I think yes, because, and it does depend how long it goes on for, doesn't it? So, you know, in a short space of time, it's not going to become a habit, but anything we repeatedly do again and again and reinforce again and again starts to become hardwired in our brains. And, you know, and I think that can lead to problems further down the line. So I'm hoping that, you know, it's sort of sooner rather than later, particularly with the little ones, that they get to interact face to face. And in the meantime, you know, the older ones can use the social media and Zoom and all of that kind of stuff. But I think if we have the ability to connect smaller children, they're not going to do conversations, you know, via Zoom or whatever it is, but they can do activities side by side. So, you know, we've been suggesting with families, you know, why not do, you know, as parents, chat to each other about a few things that you've got lying around, cardboard boxes and toilet rolls and, you know, and get them to create something together, just so you've got the screen and they can chat to them as they're making or playing charades or musical bumps or whatever it is. Anything that kind of helps them feel connected to other people, but in a safe way.
Yes, and perhaps people are getting on a bit better sometimes in all of this as well. We have people doing jigsaws, spending time together in a way that they hadn't before or for some time. Alicia Drummond, child psychotherapist there behind the website Teen Tips. Thank you for your take, and also very interesting to hear from Nick Harrop from the mental health charity Young Minds.